Welcome to The Word Unveiled, our continuing series of programs about our faith, produced by St. Malachy Catholic Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan, in the Archdiocese of Detroit. Father Joseph Gimbala is our pastor. Zach Murphy and Ursula Krauss are the two that put these programs together and put them on the internet. And my name is Gordon Peck. Our program is Mary, Queen of Heaven, and this is about apparitions and devotions. But as in all things, let us begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, what is an apparition? Well, the dictionary definition is a ghost or ghost-like image of a person. But the second definition is the appearance of something remarkable or unexpected, typically an image of this type, apparitions of the Virgin Mary. You'll find that in the dictionary. So the church definition is that an apparition is a charismatic gift granted by God for some greater purpose of his than the benefit of the one receiving it. So let's talk about the first apparition of our Blessed Mother, and that occurs during the empire-building time in the New World. Well, this is the early 1500s, around 1520 or so. Spanish in the wake of Columbus, have discovered a new land. They've discovered many islands. And now a leader by the name of Hernando Cortez has discovered the land of Mexico, which is inhabited by a group of people known as the Aztecs. And so he leads a conquest of this territory. Well, they're soon subdued, and the Aztec people are subjugated by the Spanish, and some of them are taught by priests who have come along, and one man by the name of Juan Diego is a convert, and he's an Aztec, but he has accepted faith in the Lord, and he has suffered greatly in his family. With the coming of the people from Europe, they brought new diseases, which the Aztec people did not have resistance against. And so many of them died in great numbers from these new diseases. And Juan Diego's family was decimated, and soon it was just him and his uncle. And so he was going one day to go care for his uncle who was ill, and he was going along a trail, and he was going around this hill, Tepeyac Hill, and he encounters a lady, and she asks for a chapel to be built there, which is kind of unusual, and she's dressed in Aztec garments, and she appears to be pregnant. She appears to be with child. So she says, go tell the bishop I want a chapel built here. So he goes, and he tells the bishop that, and the bishop doesn't know what to make of that, so he just dismisses him. And the next day, Juan Diego tries to go back to see his uncle, and he decides to go around the other side of the hill, and the woman encounters him there too. And then he tells her what the bishop had said to him. If you see her again, ask her for a sign as to who she is. So Juan Diego tells that to the lady, and the lady says, well, take these roses to him. Well, it's December. Roses don't grow in Mexico in December. But there they are. They're growing there. So he goes over and he cuts the roses and he puts them in his serape. It's a tilma. It's a type of cactus fiber garment that he's wearing. And he takes these down and goes to return to the bishop. And when he goes to see the bishop, he opens up his tilma and the roses spill out. And there's an image of the lady on the tilma. And that tilma, as I mentioned, was made out of cactus fibers. Now, a cactus fiber woven garment like that, if you're lucky, could last 20 years. But this garment is now 490 years old. Actually, it's 495 years old. And we see here that it's preserved now under glass. That's Pope Francis making a visit to in Mexico City, to see the tilma. And these are the interesting or miraculous facts about the tilma. The image is described in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. A woman appeared in the sky with 12 stars above her head. you know, and she's with child, and she's about to give birth to child. It's exact. The entire section of the book of Revelation is depicted in this image. Now, in recent years, NASA space engineers were allowed to examine the tilma, and they determined that it was the image did not come from paint, and there were no synthetic pigments in 1531 anyway, but it wasn't from paint, and in fact, the image isn't even on the fibers. The color image floats between the fibers in space. The cactus fiber, as I mentioned, will turn to dust in 20 years, but it's now 490 years old. And they once, in 1785, they tried to copy this image. They made a painting of it, and that painting is darkened on a tilma, on a cactus. And that painting darkened and crumbled in just 8 years. The tilma was, in its original years, was not protected for 116 years, which means that candle soot was caked onto it from worship. It was dropped in the floodwaters one time. They put gold paint on part of it because they thought it wasn't bright enough, and the gold paint has now turned to black, and most of it is flaked off. They were trying to clean it in 1785, and they spilled nitric acid on it, and the damage has occurred only on rough fibers, not anywhere where there's an image. And then, one of the most astonishing things of all is that in recent years, they have looked at it under a microscope. They've looked at the pupils of the image of the woman on this tilma, and they find a picture of 13 people who are looking forward to Juan Diego. In other words, it's the bishop and all of his attendants are all looking at him as he opened his tilma and dropped out the roses. And the two images in each pupil are slightly skewed, so they're a parallax view, exactly the way your eyes would see it. And then in 1921, a man a revolutionary who was going to destroy the church came into the building. He had a bomb. He blasted the bomb off a metal crucifix that was in front of the tilma, which was under glass, bent backwards and in half. And the glass itself did not crack, and the tilma was unharmed. But all around the building, there was soot and ashes. Okay, that's Our Lady of Guadalupe. That's the first apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the New World and in the world. Now we have, in 1830, we have the miraculous medal. This occurred in France. And Catherine Labouré, she entered the Daughters of Charity, and she served the ill and the aged. And our Blessed Mother Mary summoned her to the chapel. So she called to her in prayer. She instructed that a medal should be struck and propagated, a medal that some of us all wear. And so Catherine spent her life working in silence. And when she died, they opened her tomb, and her remains are incorrupt. St. Catherine Labouré, her feast day is November 28th. She was beatified in 1933 and canonized in 1947 by Pope Pius XII. John Paul II, Pope John Paul II, took the miraculous medal. I should say St. John Paul II took the miraculous medal theme for his coat of arms. And it says, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. And then we have the situation of Our Lady of Lourdes, which happened in 1858 in France. The feast day is April 16th. Patroness of illness, people ridiculed for their piety, poverty, shepherds, shepherdesses, and lords, France. These are all patron places for St. Bernadette Subaru, and she was born in 1844 and died 1879, beatified in 1925, and canonized in 1933. So what's the story? Well, she lived in this little town near Lourdes. Her family was known as the Subarus. This building had been a jail, and it was decided it was too crude for prisoners, so the government moved out of it, and it became available, and St. Bernadette's family moved in. It was one room, 9 people lived in it. It's still there. You can visit it. And then we have the story of the Grotto of Massabielle. So Bernadette sees a lady in this grotto, and the spring ceases to be muddy, but it becomes very clear. And the lady tells Bernadette to drink the water of the spring, And so the authorities begin to interrogate Bernadette, and she enters the Daughters of Charity to seek privacy. Here's one thing she said. I shall spend every moment loving. One who loves does not notice her trials, or perhaps more accurately, she is able to love them. I shall do everything for heaven, my true home. There I shall find my mother in all the splendor of her glory. I shall delight with her and the joy of Jesus himself in perfect safety. So she knew who exactly was that, who was appearing to her in that grotto was the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then she writes, why must we suffer? Because here below, pure love cannot exist without suffering. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, I no longer feel my cross when I think of yours. Watch over me, Father, so that everything I do may be with intention of pleasing Jesus. And of course, since that time, a cathedral has been built there, and thousands go on pilgrimage to Lourdes every year. The Blessed Virgin used me like a broom, and then he put me back in my place. So St. Bernadette is one of the most humble people that ever lived. The next apparition we have happens in Portugal in 1917, and it's Our Lady of Fatima. And Our Lady appears to three peasant children, and there are three apparitions of an angel and then six apparitions of Our Lady. And the three peasant children are Lucia Santos, Francisco Marta, and Jacinta Marta. And I think they smiled once in a while, but they don't smile in these photos. The angel who appears to them is known as the Angel of Portugal. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. That was the prayer that the angel gave to the children. The apparitions of the Lady would occur on the 13th day of every month, from May 13th until October 13th. The children are interrogated by the authorities. They're jailed. They're threatened. People want to know what's going on. What are you seeing? What are you talking about? And the role of the Immaculate One in the economy of salvation is a dogmatic fact. That's the message of Fatima. Devotion to the Immaculate Heart for individual life and for the future of the human race, including the prophetic message for the world. So she appears to the people on the 13th of the month, from May until October. On the last day that when she appears to them, we have what's called the miracle of the sun. There were 70,000 people that were there. The sun stopped and went backwards and then proceeded forwards again, witnessed by 70,000 people. And these are photographs from the actual event. Now, two of the children, Francisco and Jacinta, died very quickly after that. This happened in October 1917. By April 1919, Jacinta had died, and Francisco had died, rather. And Jacinta died in February 1920. So they died very quickly. Our Lady appeared to Lucia, the third child, and said, you may have to be there a while longer. Well, a while longer was a long time, because she lived until February 13th, 2005. And these are photos of her with Pope Paul VI, Pope John Paul II. And then we have, on the 13th of May, 1981, we have part of the prophecy that was given to her was about a man in white. And the man in white was John Paul II. He was in the Vatican. He was in a open car. He was going through the crowd, and someone ran up with a gun and shot him. And Pope John Paul II said, her hand turned the bullet in its path. So John Paul II consecrates Russia to Our Lady. He survived. He took the bullet and he put it in the crown of the statue of Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal. And not only that, but then he went and he to the prison where his would-be assassin had been incarcerated, and he listened to him, he talked to him, and he forgave him. Say the rosary every day for the peace of the world. That's what Our Lady of Fatima told the children. The next apparition we have is right here in the United States. It's Our Lady of Good Hope, 1859, and it happens in Champion, Wisconsin. It's approved at the diocesan level, and there's a national shrine of Our Lady of Good Help, and it's the only approved Marian apparition in the United States. And it begins with the story of a Belgian woman by the name of Adèle Bries. And she is an immigrant, she's a teacher, and she's a religious sister. And she's in this area. And she's walking through the forest or through the woods on her way to the church. And Our Lady appears to her in an apparition. And so she tells everyone about it, of course, and they built a shrine here for Our Lady. Now, there's another story about this that in 1871, parts of the Midwest are very dry that year, and there are terrible fires. So that's not something that we've only had recently. They had it in the past, too. And this is the same year that Chicago burns. And all the fires up north in Michigan were in 1871. Well, they're sweeping across this area in Wisconsin as well. And the fire comes down, and it's destroying farms, and the people are all running, and they don't know where to go. And they're running, the fire is in like two arms, and it splits and goes around the entire village. And the people all run, and they go to the church because it's the only place where the fire hasn't gone. And the fire goes around each side of the church and continues on, but did not burn the church. Everyone who fled to the church was saved, preserved, and everyone who went other directions was overcome by the fire. Now, we have many images of Our Lady. We have Our Lady of the Rosary. We have Our Lady of Mount Carmel. We have Our Lady of the Angels. We have Our Lady of the Immaculate Heart. We have Our Lady of Sorrows. We have Our Lady of Perpetual Help, Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal, and Our Lady Queen of Victory. And then we also have Marian prayers. And the Memorare is perhaps the most recited. And it goes simply like this. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand. Sinful and sorrowful, O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. We also have the prayer of Our Lady of Perpetual Help. O Mother of Perpetual Help, grant that I may ever invoke thy most powerful name, which is the safeguard of the living and the salvation of the dying. O purest Mary, O sweetest Mary, let thy name henceforth be ever on my lips. Delay not, O Blessed Lady, to help me whenever I call on thee, for in all my needs, in all my temptations, I shall never cease to call on thee, ever repeating thy sacred name, Mary, Mary. And then we have the Regina Caeli, Queen of Heaven, rejoice, Alleluia. For he whom you did merit to bear, Alleluia. He has risen as he said, Alleluia. Pray for us to God, Alleluia. Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary, Alleluia. For the Lord has risen, Alleluia. Let us pray, O God, who gave joy to the world through the resurrection of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant, we beseech thee, that through the intercession of the Virgin Mary, his mother, we may obtain the joys of everlasting life. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Now we'll talk a little bit about the origins of the rosary. There were martyrs in the Colosseum, and roses were thrown to where their bodies were in the Colosseum many times, and prayers would be said over the fallen roses after the bodies were taken away. Now, originally, the rosary was a prayer counted on knotted ropes or cords. The Desert Fathers, Saint Anthony and the rest, with the in Egypt in the 300s, early 300s, would say prayers with knotted ropes, and the Jesus prayer was perhaps the most common. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And so that prayer would be said so many times, counting on the beads. But for others, the recitation of the Psalms in the daily office, that would be the daily office, 150 Psalms over a week's time. Now, 50 Our Fathers or 50 Pater Nosters would be said by the peasants because they wouldn't have all the Psalms written down. So the peasants imitated with Hail Marys in the time of St. Brigid, and that was in Ireland. Now, the rosary really got going in the time of St. Dominic Guzman, and he was Spanish. He's the founder of the Dominicans, the Order of Preachers. In 1216, he was given permission by Pope Honorius III to form the Dominicans, and they led a preaching crusade against the Albigensians and other heretics in the south of France, and they used the rosary as a weapon for evangelization. Now, in the time of the Black Plagues, there was a line, that Black Plague in the 1300s when so many died, there was a line added to the Hail Mary, and that is, "Pray for us now and in the hour of our death." So here's how we pray the rosary. We begin with the sign of the cross. We pray in Our Father. We pray three Hail Marys. We pray the Glory Be. We announce the mystery, and there will be four sets of mysteries. We pray in Our Father. We pray 10 Hail Marys, which was the Decad. We pray the Glory Be and the Fatima prayer. And after five Decads or five mysteries, we pray the Hail Holy Queen. And then we pray the concluding rosary prayer, praying for the intentions of the Holy Father. And then you hug everyone before departing if you're doing this as a community prayer. Now, the mysteries of the rosary. There are joyful mysteries, luminous mysteries, sorrowful mysteries, and glorious mysteries. The joyful mysteries are prayed on Mondays and Saturdays. The first joyful mystery is the Annunciation. The second is the Visitation. The third is the birth of Jesus. The fourth is the presentation at the temple. And the fifth is the teaching in the temple. That's when Jesus was 12 and he taught the priests and scribes in the temple. The luminous mysteries are prayed on Thursdays. The first is the baptism of Jesus. The second is the wedding feast at Cana. The third is the preaching of the kingdom. That would be all throughout Galilee. The fourth is the transfiguration on Mount Tabor. And the fifth is the instituting the Eucharist in the upper room. The sorrowful mysteries are prayed on Tuesdays and Fridays. The first is the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. The second is the scourging. The crowning of thorns is the third. The carrying of the cross is the fourth. And the crucifixion is the fifth sorrowful mystery. The glorious mysteries are prayed on Wednesdays and Sundays. The resurrection is the first one. The ascension of the Lord is the second. The descent of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost is the third. The assumption of our Blessed Mother is the fourth. And the crowning of Mary, Queen of Heaven, is the fifth. Feast days and memorials are days which are celebrated in commemoration of the sacred mysteries and events recorded in the history of our redemption in memory of the Virgin Mary, Virgin Mother of Christ, or of his apostles, martyrs, and saints by special services and rest from work. A feast is not only commemorates an event or person, but can also serve to excite the spiritual life by reminding us of the event it commemorates. And so we have the feast day of January 1st is the Feast of Mary, the Mother of God. And March 25th is the Feast of the Annunciation, 9 months before Christmas. May 31st is the Feast of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, visiting her kinswoman Elizabeth. And August 15th is the Feast of the Assumption of Our Lady into Heaven. September 8th is the Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And December 8th is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception of Our Blessed Virgin Mary. And there's a whole calendar full of other days. There's Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of Fatima, all those apparitions and miracles I talked about all have different days attributed to them. And you can just check your calendar for all of those. The most recent day that's been added was May 21st, and Pope Francis added that. It's the memorial of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of the Church. Encourage the growth of the maternal sense of the Church in the pastors, religious, and faithful, as well as a growth of genuine Marian piety. And that's what Pope Francis wanted this day to become. So once again, no Mary, no Jesus. So let us close in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. All-powerful and ever-living God, you raised the sinless Virgin Mary, mother of your Son, body and soul, to the glory of heaven. May we see heaven as our final goal and come to share her glory. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for listening. Peace be with you.